Don't walk out of church doing nothing with what you heard. Over the last decades, perhaps, but certainly in the last couple of years, we've been falling away from our faith. This falling away is going to be the result of deception. A deception that will blanket this world. And we just read this morning on how clear the scripture is on this. It said that this deception will occur in one of two ways. There will be others who deceive us. Satan being at the head of the line. World leaders, politicians, friends, neighbors, relatives, preachers. Also, let's not forget the devil. He is the master of deception. He is the father of lies. And then the second way that we can be deceived is that we deceive ourselves. Probably the biggest one in that line of deception is ourselves. The first way that we can deceive ourselves is when we become so wise in the wisdom of the world that we outsmart ourselves into missing God. You see, as mankind gains more knowledge about this world, we live in it. We follow it. We deceive ourselves. It becomes harder and harder to believe the simple stories of the Bible, like the stories of Noah or Jonah, or even the virgin birth of Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've heard or overheard somebody saying it's not possible for Jonah to survive in the belly of a whale. It's not possible for it to rain so much that it flooded the whole earth. Noah was a lunatic. You got to be kidding me. Why would anybody with a sane mind build an ark in the middle of a desert? That is deception. Based on lack of or no faith. Or based on laying more value on the wisdom of the world than the love of Christ. But there's another way. Let me introduce this deception by the way of an illustration. Everybody's heard about YouTube, right? How many have used YouTube to figure out or find out how to do something? Yeah. Exactly. Well, I've been told that you can fix anything that needs fixing by watching a video on YouTube. Now, let's assume that my brakes on my car are bad. And I decide to save money by doing the repairs myself. I'm Dutch, you know. But more importantly, my wife is too. And she controls the checkbook. I go to my home office. I turn on the video and I watch it a couple of times. And I even take notes. I go outside to begin my project. But I neglect everything that I saw on the video. And I neglect all of the notes that I wrote. So my question is, how are you going to get in the car, or are you going to get in the car and test drive that car with me after I tried to fix the brakes myself. Not if you're smart. So I go outside to start my project. But I neglected to put in practice what I just heard and seen on the video. And I tell myself, I think I can do this on my own. You see, on Sundays, we sit and listen to the preacher. We see the scriptures. We even have it on the screen. Some of us take notes. Some of us have Bibles that have margins on the side so we can write notes in reference to that particular scripture. And then we walk outside the church. And we don't put into practice what we learn. We never look at the notes in this margin of our Bible. Perhaps they're on the back of the bulletin. We take it home with us and throw it in the garbage, never to refer to them notes. Aren't we telling God that we think we can do it on our own? Aren't we kind of saying, God, I don't need you. I don't need the scripture. I can do this. I know what I need to do. Well, God has a word for that type of thinking. And that word is called deception. You see, when we have this attitude, when we do these type of things, when we think we can do it on our own, we are deceiving ourselves. The Word of God calls us into action. If we are not actively living out what the Bible tells us to do, we are deceiving ourselves. Do you believe what it says here in this Bible? Give me your hands. Yeah. Me too. Then Jesus has a question for you. Why aren't you doing what it says? One thing that the Bible says is that I love my church. Jesus loved his church. He loved it so much that he took action for his church. He died for it. There are people who preach to you and me and tell us how great God is, but never enters the door of the church or only do so on the rarest occasions. Easter, Christmas. They are deceiving themselves. If they believe that they can be saved and are going to go to heaven because they went to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or on Easter, and then went on about their business as they seen it, that they dwelled in the wisdom of the world, they are deceiving themselves. Now let me take it a step further. If you believe that you come to church every Sunday, never miss, you're going to heaven. Because of that, You're deceiving yourself. Being a faithful churchgoer is a requirement. It is commanded by Christ that we do this. But it's not the key to the gates. And if we think so, we are deceiving ourselves. The relationship cannot be what they think it is when they don't love the same things that Jesus loves. Jesus loved the church. You don't love the church if you only come once in a while. You are deceiving yourself. If you are a person of action, you are going to love that church just like Christ loves it today. Another thing that the Bible says is that Jesus wishes none to perish, but he wants all to come to eternal life. If you think life in eternity is automatic, you're right. But if you think life in eternity in heaven with Christ is automatic, you are wrong. You are deceiving yourself. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 reads this way. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you think you can be saved without repentance, you're deceiving yourself. What actions are you taking that none should perish? That's directed to you. What action are you taking so that none would perish? Well, you say that I am not good at talking with someone about Christ. Okay. Not everybody is. There are some people like that. Then my question to you is this. Listen closely. Do you have a list of names of people that you pray for daily for their salvation? Or are your prayers all about me and mine? I don't think God would be asking too much if everyone in this church today would have a list of 5 people that they are praying for their salvation. Can you imagine how happy that would make Jesus? Unbelievable. But to do nothing about people perishing and spending eternity in hell, you are deceiving yourself. Yeah. Our prayers always include, forgive my sins. Does your prayer ever include to forgive your sins? Or her sins, or his sins? I don't know. If they don't, you're deceiving yourself. Jesus didn't ask us to pray only for ourselves. He expects us to pray for others because we love the church like Christ did or does. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do." You see, there are people who attend church religiously every Sunday. But once they leave the church, you can't tell them apart from the rest of the world. I hope there's nobody here this morning that falls into that category. If there is, you're deceiving yourself. I think going to church does it for their Christian duty. And now during the week, they can live like they want. Oh, sure, I can go do this. I went to church Sunday. Preacher prayed for me. Good for him. But I want to go do this, or I want to go do that. And it's okay. You're deceiving yourself. We are called to be holy every day. I hope that no one in this room had someone say to them something like this. I thought you were a Christian. Wow. You know if you've had that been asked to you or said to you. I'm going to tell you right now, I have. Not too long ago. I had a problem with my cell phone. And they told me when I got it, they would return my money. When it didn't work out and I sent it back in, they told me no. Well, for a moment there, I forgot I was a preacher. I forgot that I was a Christian. And the person that was helping me knew I was a preacher. And he interrupted me and he said, I don't think preachers should talk like that. You see what I'm saying? We get caught up in ourselves. When things don't go our way and we try to fix it or take care of it on our own without the help of God, we are deceiving ourselves. But in this example that I just gave you, I was also deceiving this person. Because at that moment, I'm sure he was thinking he didn't want to be just like me. The Word of God calls us not to be neglectful. But we forget where we come from and what God has done for us to get us where we are today. You see, we are deceiving ourselves when we forget this. Never, ever, ever forget where God took you from to where you are now. If I would ask you if you felt led to stand up and give a testimony as to where or what God took you from, I believe you would find that some of us were in some incredibly low spot before God lifted us up and brought us to the solid rock. Some of us are here this morning, or you know people that follow Christ. Not because God lifted them up from a low spot, but because they were raised that way. I go to church because my dad taught me to go to church. Well, good for you. But if that is the only reason you're sitting here this morning, you are deceiving yourself. I was raised in a Christian family. I was taught to go to church. Even when we were on vacation, the first thing they did was found a church that we could go to on Sunday. But I left the church. There was a period in our lives that we didn't go to church. There was a period in our lives that we didn't teach our children to go to church. But God lifted me up from a low spot. And I like to think that most of the time, I'm not deceiving myself. I know I do sometimes. But then the old Holy Spirit comes along and slaps you up alongside the head and says, these are worldly ways. These aren't Christ's ways. All throughout the Old Testament, God reminds the people that I am the one who took you out of the land of Egypt to a place flowing with milk and honey. The Old Testament is full of this. We're up to this point in Jewish history. This was the low point of their history. 400 years of hard labor and slavery, and God says, don't forget that. So in this case, with the Jews, the Israelites, God tells them, remember where I got you from. Because if you don't, you will go back there someday. To be negligent and forget the past, the danger is that you will return to your old ways. A person who remembers where or what God took them from is most likely to be a person of action when it comes to God's word. But let that person forget what God has done for him or her, and he or she will not be that person of action. What we're suggesting here is if we believe this and don't follow the instructions that are here for us, we are not people of action. If we don't have a list of people that we pray for, we are not people of action. If we don't go forth and do God's work as described, like feeding the homeless or the hungry or providing for the homeless, or the list goes on and on and on, if just going to church and going home afterwards is good enough, you are not a person of action. And you will never be a person of action if you forget where God found you and took you from. You are deceiving yourselves. The Word of God says we will be blessed by doing what He asks us to do. Your actions will prevent more than deception overtaking you. It will result in blessings in your life. Now here's the deal. God does not bless us on equal amounts. Okay, if you went into action and you did this much, then I'm going to bless you this much. That's not how God operates. When God blesses us, He always blesses us more than whatever we do. In other words, we get the best end of the deal. We do a little bit, we get a whole lot. That's how God operates. Ephesians 3, verses 21 and 22 reads, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. If we are going to action, if we stop deceiving ourselves, we will be blessed. Not just a little. You know what we're going to be blessed with? I know most of us are thinking, worldly stuff. Maybe I'll get that new car I've been asking for. God's going to bless me because I fed the homeless. Or, I need a new car or a new home or this or that. We got all these worldly things that we think we're being blessed with. If you are a person of action, if you are not deceiving yourself anymore, and you believe what it says there in the Bible, and you follow its instructions, your blessing is going to be heaven. And you aren't going to need that new car. How much more can you be blessed? And with eternal life with Jesus Christ. Be a doer of the Word of God. And if you are, you will not be deceived. Plus, you will be blessed beyond your own efforts. In short, I could have just scrapped this whole message and said four words that would bring it all home. You cannot outdo God. Period. And all of God's people said, Amen.